You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in the front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Stanton homered again. Trapped him on air.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 162. Tyler, it's great to speak with you once again on the pod. It's been a bit of time. We are both pretty busy with different things going on in the Yankees.
It's life, Rob.
It's life. Yeah. It's life. I will actually be making the move closer to the Yankees a little bit. I'll be moving to New York pretty soon, so that's exciting. That's why we have, you know, we both got a bunch of different stuff going on, so it's been a little hectic. So, but we're happy to be back on the pod and be talking about the Yankees' recent busy moves.
So, are we both New Yorkers now? Is that what?
Yeah,
they call us?
Yeah, exactly.
Suburban New Yorkers.
We'll both be New Yorkers, and both it'll play better to the. Better to the podcast, better to the, I guess, somewhat the brand there. But Tyler, the Yankees go out, and it was a weird sort of beginning to the week because
the Blake Snell news came out too and stuff.
Blake Snell news, which still could, you know, we'll see how that develops. But the really big move here that we're to talk about, especially coming on, is Marcus Stroman signing with the Yankees on a 2-year deal. For $37 million with a third year option. But the way that it started was, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, Bob Nightingale comes out with a tweet and says that the Yankees are not really having a dialogue with the with Marcus Stroman. The exact
He said
tweet,
like they declined to offer him a contract or something.
So And that was really funny because we know the harsh sort of relationship the Yankee fans had with Marcus Stroman. And then a day goes on, and now the report from Nightingale is complete the opposite, where they both have mutual interest. And then it keeps going, and they start heating up. Other insiders sort of talk about it. And now Marcus Stroman is a Yankee, and he will be rocking the pinstripes for the 2024 season, where the Yankees were – really in need of some pitching, just pitching depth in general. And we'll have maybe, I don't know if he's chosen a number, but we'll have a number 0 on the Yankees and a real fiery pitcher and someone.
Is that what he's worn for his career, 0?
I believe he wore it with both. He wore it last year with the Cubs, and I'm pretty sure he was either 7 or 0 with the Mets. But okay. He's around the area. Speaking of being around the area. I've seen some controversial photos, being that he, as a baby, he was wearing Yankee stuff, but he was also wearing Met stuff. So we don't know if he's really a Yankee fan or a Met fan. I don't know if I'm how I, you know, determine that there. But nonetheless, Marcus
he's
Stroman
a weirdo.
Is a
that's
Yankee.
What I'm calling him.
Marcus Stroman is a Yankee, gives this team in 2024 more pitching depth. What is your reaction to Marcus Stroman as a Yankee?
It kind of felt like the most. Like, I hate to say it, but after the, you know, the mutual interest or and even interest just on his side kind of came into fruition, it felt like the most obvious move to make. Because, listen, I love Jordan Montgomery, Rob, and I think Blake Snell will be a dog, but I think a lot of the nerds out there have questions on Blake Snell's, all of his advanced metrics and all that. So that was kind of, you'd have to dish out a fat contract to him, right? Reigning NL Cy Young winner, the whole thing. Were the Yankees going to do that? It looked like Yamamoto was the only guy they were really going to drop a bag for. And then you ask yourself, hey, do you really want to give Monty the type of money and the amount of years he's going to get? Like, Monty was going to get what? At least 6, it felt like, at least 5-6 coming off a really good year. To essentially kind of be in the same slot that Stroman was in. So then when you look towards Marcus Stroman, you get him for a few years. He's got a pretty high floor, I'd say. He's pretty consistent throughout his career. No crazy ups and downs. And then you instantly can just slot him in that three and not commit to him long term and not commit a ton of annual money to him. So personally, I like it. There's a lot of Yankee fans I see on the Webernet. Absolutely crying about it because they want, you know, Snell or Montgomery or whatever it may be. And who knows, maybe that does happen. I don't think so. But just off the rip, I thought good deal, high ceiling, low floor. And especially when the Yanks are signing players, I think to compete for next year, biggest thing I'm looking at, Rob, is like, what's the floor for this dude, right? And it feels like it's pretty high, or at least pretty average, right? So I think the worst it can be is he throws 140 pretty above average innings for us, and we see what he can do in the playoffs and hopefully stay healthy if we get there. But I like it in terms of like flexibility, not a long commitment. Don't feel like I overpaid for anyone. Cause if they signed Monty for 6 years, her, whatever, I would have felt like an overpay. You pay Snell 7 years, 215, 210. I would have felt like, yeah, that kind of scares me a little bit. I feel comfortable with this deal. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it, I feel comfortable with the Yankees just in where they are now with their pitching staff. They needed to add depth and major league quality depth. Mm-hmm. And even the controversy that may come with Marcus Stroman and the bad relationship that he may have had with Yankee fans on Twitter or anywhere
online. He's just a
online.
Troll.
He is a troll. I think for what they got him for on the 2-year deal, especially with the premium that's now on pitching and how these contracts that are just astronomical and just huge.
The market's insane.
Yeah. And, you know, Jordan Montgomery is going to get paid a lot of money. Blake Snell is going to get paid a lot of money. And this is a real depth piece where you were just looking at this staff where you don't know what you're getting from Rodon next year. You're hoping that he just is better. And you're saying, okay, Nestor is coming off an injury. What is he going to look like?
Yeah, the shoulder
Clark
too.
Schmidt, you're saying Clark Schmidt. Okay, Clark finished off really strong, but in the start of the year, he has his little issues here and there. So to really add depth to this Yankees pitching staff, I think it was a necessary move, and you sort of put the BS from past years aside, and you bring this guy in. But what I will say is, I am very interested to see how it molds with this team. There are a lot of characters on this team. You add in Stroman, Verdugo, Soto, and I think there's absolutely the ability that this is a fiery locker room and they gel, and that potential is there. But, you know, I am interested to see if they hit a little adversity, what is going to be how would Marcus Stroman then react to certain things? Cause
he's going
to
hear it on Twitter too.
He's going to be hearing it on Twitter, or he's just going to be hearing it from the direct reporters and how that goes. So I'm really curious to see how that ends up playing out, because and you could say, yes, he played in the New York media when he played for the Mets. And this is
different expectations at that time too, though. You know?
Different expectations for that Mets team. And what I will say, and of course, Mets fans listening to this would probably think this is a jab at the Mets, but there's levels to it. And I think that the level of the New York scrutiny when it comes to the Yankees is more than the Mets. I'd say when you compare the Mets to other MLB franchises, it's obviously different because New York fans were all psychos all together. But I think the Yankees come with a different level, especially when you now look at Gerrit Cole being in his prime, Aaron Judge being in his prime. Now they sign Juan Soto to the largest arbitration AAV in MLB history. And then you're expecting to then sign that guy. So there's still talent on this team and a lot of moves made. So this is going to be a cast of characters with this Yankees team. And, you know, to add in Marcus Stroman, is that something that's going to, you know, go like water and oil and not sort of mix? But I'm really curious to see. I think it was a move that had to be made with Marcus Stroman because you need to add in some pitching depth, because this, you don't know what you have. You get rid
and
of
it's not Michael. A high risk contract.
Yeah. And you get rid of Michael King, and you strike out on Yamamoto. He heads to the Dodgers. They needed to make pitching moves, and like you said, a lot, the fact of the matter is a lot of Yankee fans I saw, you know, when we're posting this stuff, are crying in the comments saying, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? They need pitching. Brian Cashman probably put his pride aside with this deal because Marcus Stroman made some pretty harsh comments about him. Marcus Stroman had made harsh comments about the Yankees in general. They put pride aside and they said, we need pitching and this guy can pitch and he can eat innings for us. And he's an option for us to pitch. So I agree with the deal. I'm behind the deal. It's a little awkward, you know, whatever, but it's something that they had to do. And I am going to be keeping a close eye on, you know, I'm going to be keeping a close eye on how he develops throughout the year because it'll be very interesting.
I think it's almost kind of similar to last year's San Diego team with all the personality there. You know, you had Juan, Tatis, Machado, Xander, all those dudes over there. And you heard a lot of rumblings out of that locker room when they weren't playing so well, how, you know, the all the all-stars were kind of talking about how they're pulling their weight and other guys aren't, yada, yada, yada. So I think it's kind of similar stuff there, right? If the Yanks are balling, it's going to look like one of the most fun clubhouses we've seen probably since like those 2018, 2019 teams. But if it gets bad and all these guys are on contract years and you know, shit's kind of hitting the fan a little bit, it might be a tough watch. You know, the clubhouse might look depressing like it looked like last year. The dugout might look dead. You know, he might get some bad quotes from Stroman in the media. But I also do think that kind of comes with playing as a whole, right? Like, it's fun for a team when they're winning and when they're balling. But when they're losing, that's when we'll figure out kind of, you know, what they're made of in terms of adversity, like you said.
Yeah, what's going to happen when the rubber hits the road and how are they going to respond? And so what I'll ask too, I'll ask you, so adding Marcus Stroman now onto this team, how confident now do you feel about their pitching staff?
I mean, listen, I was really confident last year, Rob, and Garrett was the only guy that pitched well. But again, I think it's like, when I look at the rotation, it should be a pretty high floor. I know we kind of have differing opinions to an extent on Rodon, but I'm pretty confident that Rodon should be an ace, right? So I'm expecting two of those top three guys between Cole, Rodon, and Stroman to be really good. Someone's going to get hurt. I still don't think they have enough pitching. Clark at your five and Luke Weaver is your sixth pitcher. That's just simply not enough. I think we kind of know, just from especially recent, like last 4 or 5 years, like you need 8, 9, you know, get into even 10 starting pitchers to get through a season. Because just bottom line, someone's going to get hurt. Someone, if not multiple pitchers, are going to get hurt. So with a healthy staff that's going to pitch, you know, if they pitch each, you know, 150, 160, 170 plus innings between Cole, Rodon, Nestor, Stroman, and Clark, like if they all go out there and are relatively healthy for the year, I expect the pitching rotation to be good. But if not, we'll kind of see what takes place from there. I'm not too confident in the minimal depth they have, but a healthy Roto, I like the floor of this team a lot, and I like the top end of this rotation, and I like the ceiling of Clark and Nestor at the bottom of it. So,
do you think there's no way they still go after Snell?
Personally, no. Like, I'd put it at a virtually a 0% chance.
Yeah,
I think it's more likely they wait for Bieber or wait for Cease.
Yeah,
I don't think they like Snell enough, honestly.
I mean, I think MLB Network 2 put out the other day. I don't know if you saw it. It was you know, what's the deal with Burns? One of the proposed trade was Oswald Peraza, Everson Pereira, Chase Hampton for Burns. Like, I'm doing that if I'm
Like, that makes more sense to me if they're gonna really go out. And...
Yeah, no, with that, pivoting, obviously talking about Snell, and because, like you said, you want sort of the whole season, and obviously more deals can come in and other other players that we don't even really know have a role with this team, sort of in the minors, that can maybe have an emergence, will come to fruition potentially.
People are talking about Josh Hader too, where they're going to go back to the bullpen thing.
So
but
maybe
that's
they'll,
weird to me.
It is, especially with the money he's demanding. But I think adding, like you said, one of those guys, maybe if it's a deal for Cease or Bieber or, you know, Burns or something. The thing with Snell, and I know a lot of Yankee fans were, and I'm sure a good amount of listeners were saying to this right now, or saying like, yeah, like give me Snell. He's 31 years old. He's coming off a Cy Young, and he pitched really quite well last year. Yeah. I am just scared of, I was seeing projection in the neighborhood of like sort of around a Rodon contract, basically, maybe even more if that's, you know, what he can demand. Mm-hmm. The amount of inconsistency from year to year with the guy really just does not rub me the right way.
I agree.
So I think too, the Yankees now understand that because they just signed basically that guy in Rodon and they have that now. Mm-hmm. So are they willing to then, willing to do it with Yamamoto because the guy's 25. He's just coming to the United States to pitch, like coming in. He's in.
Yeah. People don't hit the market that young. Like pitchers don't hit the market.
So that's completely different than what we're looking at in Snell. And I know Snell, obviously for this Yankees team, they need pitching, but if I had the ability to choose between, okay, Snell or going to trade for a guy like Bieber or Cease or Burns, like I'm doing the trade, even though you have to part with assets as opposed to not spending that money. And you could say, well, the Yankees haven't spent, now with Stroman, they finally spent money in a few other minor deals because they, up until the, you know, with the Soto deal, they hadn't spent any kind of free agency money.
Yeah.
So I still would be willing to part with assets because you got to think, like, you sign Snell to a big deal, close to $200 million potentially, which is, I'm not comfortable with that.
It's just too high risk of a deal.
It is. And you're going to say, well, then that handicaps you from potentially signing
Soto.
Soto, which, you know, if he's chalked up to what he's supposed to be, and I think he will be what that is, you want to sign that guy. And then that too, then you think, okay, well then, you know, are you going to think about signing Glaber, which is a whole other bag, because he gets $14.2 million of his ARB money. So you have, are you really willing to commit the money to Snell? Because and we know we need the pitching, but you're going to say, okay, this may really sort of throw a wrench in. And is that really money well spent? Is my opinion. So, and I think you're sort of on the same page with that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's just, if it's going to hinder you in any way, I don't love it. And I think that's what Blake Snell does. So it felt like Stroman was the right move. And again, just low risk, high reward, still trying to compete for this year.
Man, if they go out and and there's still time, if they go and make a trade for one of those pitchers and they get either Cease or Bieber, like I'm feeling then. And I know those guys, I would say Burns is the best of that group, but if they go out and get any of these guys, I'm saying, okay, this feels like and it's already a successful offseason in my book when they made the Soto deal. But if you go out and do that, I'm feeling a lot better heading into the year. And then hopefully, you know, I know Wandy, you know, you got to make some deals in the bullpen. And I know they're talking about the Hader thing.
I'd like to stay away from large contracts in the pen, dude. We've watched that happen too many times.
We've seen it with Britton.
Chapman.
And we know that Brian Cashman has a unique ability to sign those relief pitchers. And I do have a comp. And you have, I believe, Efros is coming back this year, too.
Mm-hmm. I fucking forgot about it.
I would
stick
hold
with
off
your strengths
thing,
stick with your strengths, Cash, and kind of work with pennies for the bullpen. I like that. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, even if you look at Stroman and Snell's stats over the last, like, just take from 2019, for example, like Stroman has, for the ERA lovers too, like Stroman's never pitched to an ERA over 3.9, which was last year, in the last 4 years since 2019. Snell has been in the he's pitched you an ERA over four twice since then. So I really just think in terms of consistency and like bang for your buck, you're winning with Stroh. You know, Snell's coming off a year where he's pitched in the NL the last couple years too, and then you're going to throw him back in the AL. I know he pitched in the AL East with Tampa, but Tampa's a different beast, as we know. I think it makes too much sense to not pay Snell and Monty a ton of money. But like you said, you know, maybe they grab one of those higher caliber starting pitchers before the season, or maybe they're healthy until the trade deadline in July and, you know, first week of August, and they pull the string on pull the trigger on a guy like Cease or a team that's out of contention and grab a big pitcher in the middle of the season. Yeah. So I think it's just the smarter thing to do.
I completely agree, man. And I know that we want a big name pitcher. I guess you can call Stroman somewhat of it's a name. And,
but that's why everyone was crying, because they're like, oh, we didn't get two of the top guys. You missed on Yamamoto and you missed on Snell. You didn't even miss on Snell. I don't think they wanted him for that money.
And Snell wants to be a Yankee. That report came out.
That's what it seems
out.
Like, yeah.
And I for the money he's demanding, I just do not feel comfortable with it. And I just think that's not going to be a contract that ages well.
Especially with it's funny that I think this was pure Yankee PR work, like 100%. I believe that. The rumor comes out, Yankees have offered Snell a contract, but they're not close. And then 2 hours later, Stroman signs. Mm-hmm. I think that's the Yankees literally going, hey, guys, we tried, but this is what we got instead. You know, this is what we're doing. Yeah. So I'm like, that's why I think Snell is like I don't think it's happening. But maybe they go crazy and surprise us. I don't know. Like you said, they really haven't spent any money. So, but then there's a part of me does feel like they're done. But then I'm like, they haven't spent any money, but then I'm like, they have made three moves. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, they surprise us with the Stroman deal, so I would not be surprised if they pull some sort of rabbit out of their hat. Ken Rosenthal actually, I think earlier today, reported that the Yankees have balked on the asking price for Cease and Burns, so they could be asking for heaven on earth. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers are like, give us Dominguez, and it's not happening.
And Burns is only has a year. Like, I know Cease has this year and next year left.
Yeah, I think
Burns only has a year, right?
I think those would be the better options, and you could see how Chicago's probably not going to be good next year. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something that you could do towards the deadline if you're looking good. Yeah, this is his he's unrestricted free agent in 2025 for Burns, and he's 29. So I just feel more. I just feel more comfortable with that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean,
and
that's
he's making 15 this year. Burns? Burns on his last year of arbitration. I don't feel well about the Snell stuff, but you know, we'll see how it develops.
And I think you get if you want one of those. I mean, to be honest, like Burns and Cease for you know, a Dominguez price tag is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know,
no. But you can't really blame them for trying to ask for it. You know,
for a year of them though. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah,
we got Soto for a year, and we gave up Mike King, who has 2 years left. You know, mm-hmm. But also I think if you don't pull the trigger on those guys, the asking price is 10 times cheaper in July. Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah. Other noteworthy news that came from a lot of New York past Yankees from this from 2023 have signed with new teams. We had Harrison Bader sign with the Mets, who looked very elated to be a Met in his press conference. Grew a little beard. Him and Seve got the beards going now. Also, IKF, yeah, they just love the sloppy seconds. IKF signs with the Blue Jays on 2 years. For a 2-year deal worth $15 million.
Montas, good for IKF, man.
Yeah, good for IKF. Won't like seeing him in the division games, though. Nah. I could see him, you know.
You know, he'll slap one in between the first and second baseman to walk us off at some point this year.
Montas signs with the Reds. As I mentioned, the ARB money, a lot of different Yankees got that. Juan Soto signed for 31 mil. Glaber got 14.2. They also, like you said, signed Luke Weaver for a 1-year deal worth 2 million.
I think he can get up to like 9 too if he pitches a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yankees also traded Estevan Florial to the Guardians. Mm-hmm. So that was a noteworthy piece of news. And then they also signed Cody Petit from the Marlins. So that was some starting pitching, quote unquote, depth. So
why can't we go back to Miami and go grab one of their pitchers? Like that's the rumor every year.
I saw Yankees Twitter going a little crazy because I guess the Marlins offered up are willing to shop Luis Arraez, and you know, I saw Yankees Twitter putting out trade propositions for like for him and Lizardo for like Glaber.
You'd
and
have
like
to pay.
Yeah, so which I wouldn't mind Lizardo, but he's gonna cost a pretty penny being 26.
So is Arraez under control at all? Let me see.
I think so. He's a younger guy. 20. Yeah, like, he's 26 even, too.
What even are the Marlins? They just got rid of Kim, right?
Man, I'm telling you though, I feel like there's been so many rumored freaking deals between you know, the Yankees and Marlins.
Miami.
Like they're going to make some sort of a deal.
Yeah.
Arraez is an unrestricted free agent in 2026. So,
You get him for a year and a half.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe I that's the thing too. I wouldn't be surprised. Do you think, because I don't want to get too in the weeds with this.
Hey, it's January, Rob. We got to be in the weeds.
But I'm thinking to myself, in my heart of hearts, I think that Glaber is going to be a part of this team.
I do too.
This year. But would it shock you at all? Like it all kind of depends on if the Yankees are really motivated to then, like, if they're going to want to stand pat and be like, okay, we got Stroman and then we'll just figure out the pitching later. Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's like, maybe they do say like, cause that's, I think the most Glaber is the most, if they were to then want to trade for a pitcher that then makes sense. Like if they made a deal with Miami, Glaber would probably be a part of that equation. Would be my guess.
That's because, only if Miami thinks they're going to compete this year.
Because like, I really don't. Yeah, exactly. But I don't think that, because now with like having the looming Soto deal, like and Glaber's going to get a good contract because he mm-hmm. has performed. Like, I don't think like it could be the year finally that they do trade Glaber. Like that's just, maybe not before the season, but maybe mid season. You got to see it play out.
Would just be crazy to me. You're trading your third best hitter.
True, but I do think he has a future past then if they feel like they're going to have Soto, because I think Glaber can easily get, you know,
it is
25 AAV for his mm-hmm. for the way that he hits.
Yeah, and if he does what he did last year, he's going to get a lot of money. He'll be a top
And we've been talking about this now
second baseman for 4 years. Yeah,
yeah, we've been talking about this for 2 years. So like, but like now I'm finally saying. Logically, if they have the idea that they want to sign Soto, which if you trade for that guy, you are going to make a large push at him. I don't know, because what's your offseason then going to be? You're going to sign Glaber to a huge deal as well as Soto. That's my
I would think Glaber gets a 6-year deal. You can call it 25, and I think that's a good deal for Glaber.
You think the Yankees will afford that and like want to give him that, or?
6 for $150. I mean, it sounds like a. I don't know. Like, I do think because they've kept him for so long, like, mm-hmm. this is the worst year for them to trade him. If they're going to trade him, they should have traded him last year when they weren't competing. They could have get more because then whoever they're
trading. That's when they didn't know they had Juan Soto, though.
Exactly. But they had to have known. I mean, you know, that could be Hal just being like, hey, dude. Go do something.
Well, they are notorious for holding on to players longer than they should have and not selling on their highest peak or allowing them to then. So I don't know.
But that's what makes me think that they're going to try and extend Glaber.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Like if March rolls around, middle of March, and all of a sudden Glaber signs like a 4-year, like 26 mil a year like deal, like that makes me happy. You know, because hinder much.
I just don't know how the money would work out, because then what are you going to do at first base? You're going to make Stanton play first base next year when Rizzo's contract expires?
Dude, so if in my head, like, the Yankees should take the approach that the Dodgers have done with Mookie and the Phillies have done with Bryce.
Deferring
Bryce is a
money.
First baseman. No, not even, not even. Well,
that's yeah. I want to finish talking about that. I have to talk about that. That pissed me off.
But Bryce is a first baseman. Longevity. Mookie's now at second base. They've announced basically for the rest of his career. So, like, I think Judge should come out of the outfield sooner rather than later. And if you're going to pay Soto a bag, keep him in right. Mm-hmm. Dominguez plays left or center. And then you fill one outfield position, and then you don't, and then Rizzo's gonna be off this team soon.
Yeah,
you know, we haven't had a first baseman in some time. I think the logical thing is yeah, move Judge to first, and then figure out the outfield. I don't know how I got there, but
I don't think we're at that time frame yet. I think Judge is gonna play another 2-3 years in the outfield.
He probably will. I'm just saying it wouldn't. It definitely wouldn't make me upset in any way if
no,
they like.
Yeah,
like,
no, I think that's a point we get to. I just don't think that's the bridge we're crossing.
Yeah,
just.
I was landing a plane somewhere there, but I forgot how to land.
So yeah, that was all the really kind of noteworthy stuff. In the coming weeks, I think they announced that pitchers and catchers is gonna get
Valentine's
underway
Day.
On Valentine's Day. I think we got about 74 days or something like that till opening day. So
pretty crazy.
Tyler, sooner rather than later, man, it's going to mm-hmm. be freaking, it's going
to
be
opening day,
back to baseball, which will be very exciting. Can't wait to get back out to the stadium and go watch some games. And I will say with this now with these moves, I mean, I'm excited to see Soto in the
Bronx.
They're
trying to compete this year.
Yeah. I got my number 22 jersey. Maybe I was a little premature with that, but we'll
That's
see.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I was it. Like, I'm buying it. So I got my number 22. I won't be getting a number 0 for Stroman, but maybe I'll get a Scherzy if I start liking them. But
I hope they extend Soto so bad. I know Boris clients don't extend during the season, but like, just go off from 475. You know, just go see what he says.
Yeah. I'm just gonna get this off my chest. Like I said. What do you make of the freaking deferred money? Like,
I'm
gonna
be honest.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead. You finish that, and then I'll go.
I think that the next, if they do not address it, like, and like teams like the Yankees don't then exploit it, they're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's racking up money on your credit card and just making the minimum payments and mm-hmm. just worrying about it later. And I cannot stand it. And it's not even from the standpoint that then the Dodgers did that and they were able to get Yamamoto. And I don't know why more like small market teams aren't really outraged by it, but like, you know, you'd wish, and I think people are saying, you know, it's just the owners really spending the money and being willing to spend the money, but they're really not willing to spend the money because they're deferring the payments. And I think that
they're still on the book for it, though.
They're still on the book for it, but they should be responsible to pay the contract during the time of when the player is going to be playing.
I guess that's
Ohtani is getting $2 million a year. Tyler, I wouldn't care. Like, I think the Yankees should be doing this with Juan Soto right now.
Yeah,
it is. Like, I think it's a bullshit rule. I think the Yankees should be doing it if the Dodgers are doing it. I just think it's obnoxious. I think it is. It's not a matter of, and you could say, like, I want owners to spend money, and I'm not. And sure, they spent the money, but guess what? They're not actually spending the money now. They're spending it later, and it's. There's no the competitive imbalance after that is ridiculous.
No, there should be a luxury tag, like a cap.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you want to put in a cab, then but they're not going to fucking do that.
No, they'll never do that.
Excuse my French, but like it's, I thought it was just so obnoxious and ridiculous. And if the fact that the Yankees don't do it, the Mets don't do it, like they're stupid. Like they should once it. I hope it becomes a extremely widespread thing, and then they're like, "Oh wait, actually, this is kind of annoying," and like, or not annoying. This is kind of unfair because it is. It's unfair that they're going to be paying the first 8 years or whatever for $2 million of Shohei Ohtani. Now, I don't think that they should have to pay the. Sure, if they don't want to have to pay the full 75, that's whatever, but. they should have to pay a significant portion.
Like at least 40% of it.
No offense against Shohei Ohtani. And like, I get it. But like, people are saying like, oh, like, good for him that he like is doing this for his team. He's still getting paid the
money. I mean, he's also getting like $150 million more than he probably would have got.
Yeah.
You know, he was supposed to get like $550, $600. He got seven.
Like, he's getting $700. Like, the Ben Verlanders of the world, like, saying, like, oh, like, he's such a saint for doing it. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't call – he's a really good guy. Like, I'm
but that's ridiculous. He's not a better guy because he's deferring $70 million until, like, 10 years down the road.
Like, let's not make him out to be St. Nicholas or, like, yeah, you know, exactly. Something. Like, I it's a very smart move to then have him be able to play for a competitive team. But the idea that it's like, oh, he's being such a saint, I don't think that's –
Yeah.
I don't like it. And I think once it becomes more widespread, people will start seeing it as an issue, but who knows if it will get to that.
I'll just say, if the Yankees did it, I would have been happy. Like, if they signed Juan and all of a sudden, like, Juan was getting paid like $6 million for the next eight years.
Yeah, I wish they do it. I wish, Tyler,
I'd be like, screw it. Yeah, heck yeah.
I tweeted it. I wish that they fucking gave Juan Soto a $700 million contract and then deferred the payments till 2050. I'll be, you know, I'll be older and I won't be caring at that age. Do it till 2070 and then maybe I'll be dead by then. Like, yeah, it's just exactly. I don't care, but it's just for the now, it's just, it creates a ridiculous competitive imbalance that's just, it can get to be a real slippery slope.
I'll just say, I feel like it was a smart move by them. You know, they're like, hey,
no, they
we found this
it.
Loophole. Let's exploit it. Yeah.
I just, ugh. It's the rest of baseball that should, like, I don't know.
Whatever. I just think it's funny that Los Angeles is doing all this stuff where they're like welcoming Shohei and he's like, he's been in California.
Yeah.
they're like, we'll take you to Disney. Dude's played here.
They're like, we'll take you to Disneyland, even though you've lived like 2 minutes from it.
Exactly. A couple hours from LA.
I was because we didn't talk since he then signed a month ago, but I was elated to have John Morosi send that tweet out about the Blue Jays and then all the Blue Jays fans. It was harsh. But
yeah, I was just fired up that he didn't go to Toronto.
Yeah, clearly.
Because that would have sucked. That.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we covered pretty much everything and we'll keep an eye out for any other Yankee deals, and we'll be sure to hop on the pod when those do happen and then ramp it up as it comes to opening day. But as we said, we're sorry for not being on in the recent days or recent weeks because we've just been a little busy with moving and all sorts of stuff. But we really appreciate you guys for joining us for this episode and everything.
Back at it.
Absolutely. So that was it, or that'll be it for episode number 162. As always, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rate and review. Go ahead over, follow us on Instagram, X, TikTok, all the social media platforms that we're on. We really appreciate you guys for listening. We will catch you next time.